Part of it is I was waiting. You know, getting estimates and all that stuff.
That's fair. You gotta find that cheap deal.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to Lunchtime Live. We are here today again with myself, Kelly Mosley. We got Pastor Bill. We got Pastor Rob. Pastor Mark will be joining us pretty soon. And a special guest again this week, Scott Powers. So, Bill, what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about generosity, everybody's favorite topic.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. We were having Advent by Candlelight, which is an event for the ladies. And there's a whole bunch of guys that came and were serving and we're just spending time being hospitable. And there was a fella who came by and dropped off 20 different pies for the ladies to enjoy. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, man, we have a generous church. We have a generous people, a group of guys who want to spend a Tuesday evening serving the ladies, and a group of people who are just spending time providing for this place. And you know, I think that's something inspiring, and I think that's something cool, and I want to continue to think through, what does it look like to live a generous life? As a church, as an individual, what does generosity look like? I know sometimes generosity can often be seen as just money, and certainly money is a part of it. But I think in Romans 12, when it talks about offering our bodies as living sacrifices to God, I think there's something more than just the wallet that's involved in living a life of sacrifice, of generosity for the people around us.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I was thinking that too when we kind of talked about what we were going to talk about today. I think, yeah, obviously our minds always go first to money. That's what we're talking about when it comes to generosity. But there is something to say about just time in general, and giving of that time to anything, if it is volunteering at a women's dinner, if it's volunteering on a Sunday morning and being a greeter or being a part of the tech team or part of the worship team or just giving of yourself, I think is a way understated thing when it comes to generosity that people don't think about, or maybe some of the people that are involved directly in those things, but outside looking in, that's not usually the first thing that you're thinking of when it comes to generosity.
Yeah, my dad would always say that the last two things that people are going to give are their time and their money. And, you know, Rob, as you were preaching this past weekend and you're talking about how generosity is a response of what Christ has done for us, that he has given so generously to us that we can live generously then. And it almost made me think about how, well, it did make me think about how I wish that there would be times that we would say, or that it would hit me that, you know, my time is not my own. My life is not my own. My wallet is not my own. Nothing that I have is my own because Christ has bought it all. And I think there's something to be said about that, of reminding ourselves that generosity is not just out of response, but it's out of necessity. We don't own anything. This isn't ours.
It's interesting because you're right. I mean, I think it's easy for us to think about everything being ours, right? I earned it. It's mine, right? But even in the Art of Neighboring class, we talk about the fact that the house you have is something that was given to you by God and placed you in that home for a specific reason and purpose. And so that's really not your home. It's God's home that he has given to you to use for the kingdom of God. And I think as we think about those kind of things, everything that we have, including, as you said, our life, and everything that encompasses our life, is used and meant to be used generously for the kingdom of God. But yet, we get so caught up in dollars so much that when we talk about generosity, we forget about all the other areas of generosity, right? And I think we get caught up in the dollars because, let's be honest, that's a lot of times where our heart is, right? And that's the one that is the most sort of grabs hold of us the most and we worry about the most. There is this idea of generosity in terms of living out what I'll talk about this weekend, of vocation, And our vocation is to be generous in whatever vocation we have. If it's as a parent, we're generous in towards our kids and to our husbands or our wives. And, you know, we're generous in all areas of our lives, not just when it comes to dollars. And so that means time as well. And I think where we're suffering in the church in some ways is, and suffering may be a harsh word for it, but I'm using it anyways, is that dollars, yes, we need in the kingdom of God to advance the church and the work that we do. But we also need people to be generous with their time, because there's lots of people that give time to coaching and all kinds of other aspects that they're involved in the world. And that's awesome. We need that. But we also need people to serve in the church. And nowadays, that seems to be a really difficult sort of ask and a call for people to get involved with.
I feel like numerous times we've heard, you know, be a cheerful giver. And I had always linked that to money, as we were talking about.
Right.
But it becomes easier to be cheerful for me. And I noticed those that want to volunteer, is that makes it, because you're interacting with people. They're smiling, you're happy, you're doing it together. And that makes it easier. And then in my head, that'll make it easier, I hope, to also include.
Yeah, I continue to just challenge myself in this, because Scott, that point of doing it together. There's one thing, it is one thing to say, oh, I'm going to be generous in my time. It's another thing to say, I'm going to be generous in my time alongside of another person. I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac. And like Abraham, he prays for this kid for decades. He wants to have a kid, and he and his wife are promised this kid. And finally, God fulfills his promise, and God calls Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And I would imagine that Sarah was not unaware of all of this happening, and Isaac was not a little kid. He's a teenager by this point, so he's not unaware of what's happening. And there's this community aspect of this sacrifice. And God continues on, and he says, okay, well, don't kill your son. But the point is that Abraham is willing to give everything that he has, all of his hopes and his dreams and his future. And so that's what's challenging me, is like, okay, what are the things that I, in my mind, I'm holding back? What are the things that I want to keep? Say, God, you can have this stuff. You can have the easy stuff, right? You can even have the medium to difficult stuff. But there are certain things. Are there certain things in my life that I'm like, God, you can't have that? And I think that generosity, real generosity, results in us tearing down the idols in our life and saying, God, you can have it all.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's a lot of things, that myself included, that we all tend to hold back. And I think something that I learned a long time ago too, is even with the story of Abraham and those things, that was something that God promised him. It's something that God gave him. And I learned that, again, to really put it in my mind, that even though I'm at my job and I'm doing this and me, I'm the one doing all of this. No, everything was given to me by God. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I have done on my own that I can try to justify in my brain that, no, you didn't touch this, God. This was all me. And so then to know that everything that I'm doing should be giving back to God. And
yeah, all of the stuff that we have and we've done by ourselves ends up being faulty and broken and sinful and messed up. And yeah.
It's interesting, though. I think when we always think about stuff. And I think it comes down to, as a Christian, we should have a generosity in our spirit. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that we should be generous towards people in general, with our forgiveness, with how we interact with people, with our judgmental nature, with just how we deal with people. And I know that gets to be hard for me at times too, because I get caught up in my own stuff and I forget that I just need to be generous with my spirit as a whole. And so I think we can get caught up in this idea of generosity being about our time, our talents, and our treasure, right? But it's also something that sort of comes from the inside of us as the spirit works in us to create this general mindset and spirit of generosity, which impacts not just our time, talents, and treasures, but impacts everything about what we do in life and how we live our lives and how we interact with each other. And as I look at this country and what we just went through with the election cycle and everything else, what we're missing is that spirit of generosity, where we're willing to be generous to someone else because they have different beliefs than us, different understandings than us, and we say, okay, that's fine, and I still accept them and love them because that's how Christ would do it. But yet, we've lost that in our world somehow, that we don't seem to be generous with how we interact with people, how we live our lives, and this generous spirit that I think we as Christians should have has sort of gone away. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm saying or not.
Yeah, I think when I hesitate to be generous, it is primarily because of a fear. It doesn't come from out of empathy or like unempathy. It's not like I just don't care. But there can be a fear of the scarcity of resources.
Yeah, there right? may be a season too where because of what's transpired or something, you can only be so generous right now. But I think that is something that we need to also work on and try to get back and understand that maybe, you know, we can get back to that. You're right. But we hold on to things because of fear, because of what's happening or what we're afraid is going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really good. I think the thing that I was thinking while you were talking through that is, again, I think it's back to that thought of the selfishness side of it. Cause again, it is, even in what I had said earlier, it was me, like all these things. And like to get past that point of, it's not about me. Nothing is about me. Like I need to give everything away. I need to give everything to those that need it. And I do think that, yes, that fear is there because again, then it's almost to me, I don't know right now, I'm just thinking like that still points back to me because I'm fearful that I'm not going to have enough of whatever it is for me in the future, you know? And I think there's things of that nature too, where maybe you've been burnt in the past. I was thinking of something that happened to me that it was years ago. It was back even when I was still living in Oklahoma, but there's a gentleman that pulled up next to me at a gas pump and he got out and asked if I would help him out with getting some gas. And I was like, sure, like fine. And so I, you know, took my card over and I scanned it, started gave it to him to get some gas in there, but reminding, this is a long time ago. I was broke, man. Like I didn't have no money anyway. And so I already knew like 20, 30 bucks left in my bank account as it was. And I'm like, dude, make sure we stop at this point. And he was like, oh yeah, I just need $5, man. Something like that. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so then he comes over to shake my hand to thank me. But in the process of shaking my hand to thank me, he won't let go of my hand to go stop the pump that's still pumping gas into his car. And so I think for me, that was one of those things that was just like, what did I just do? I just got scammed. This dude just took all $30 out of my bank account to fill up his gas tank because I did this. But I think there is something also beautiful in that, that it's like, if I could have got past the worry, the fret, the fear of things, that I was fine. Nothing. I got paid, I think, the next week and everything was great. And I didn't miss out on nothing. Like there was nothing there. And regardless of that guy's intentions, God used that for me being generous and just giving away of things that I didn't need to someone that didn't need it, you know?
God still provided.
The thing that I always think about with this, and this may be weird of me, but, you know, I think about Jesus and all that he gave for me and for us, right? And, you know, that's the ultimate act of generosity of what happened with Jesus. And I have questioned in my mind, you know, maybe to the fault of feeling guilty about it, would I be willing to sacrifice that much and be that generous with my life, right? And the real answer is no, probably. I mean, if I'm honest, it would be no. But I strive to think that way and live that way more and more. But it's a struggle because we see how that is the call of generosity that we see. And it's a difficult thing for us because we just, because of the fear, because of the reality of what life is like and how things transpire in this world. But that is the call that we have to strive for and be willing to give everything for the kingdom. And, you know, I would hope that I would be like Bonhoeffer or some of these, you know, the disciples who gave everything for the kingdom. And when someone would ask me that I had to do that, that I would be willing to do that. And sometimes I question whether in that moment I would. That's true generosity, I think.
It's interesting around this, you come back to kind of what you're talking about, Kelly. And I wonder how many times it's not my lack and my fear of lack in the future that keeps me from being generous, but my fear of being foolish, right? Or being taken advantage of,
right?
Or, right? And if we're going to be truly generous, yeah, we are going to be taken advantage of at times. Jesus, look at Jesus' own life, right? Yeah. How many times did people take advantage of him?
Well, that's sort of why I brought up Jesus, was because that's what I think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think even sometimes are we hesitant to give because we're not, you know, we want to make sure it's, we're only investing in the fruitful things. Like I want to make sure there's a return on my investment. And so it comes back to somewhat of a control thing, right? Of the best way for me to be able to use my money is it, and there is wisdom in that, right? There is discernment of what is, but I think sometimes we can take that to the extreme where it causes us to hold on to it instead of being generous because we're afraid of what happens then with it after we let go of it. And once again, it does come back to a trust thing. It's not a trust of God providing for me, but a trusting that God is going to use it after it's out of my control, right? Or, you know, is going to. And like I said, there's a balance in there, but I do think sometimes that is a thing. And in some ways, being generous does look foolish to the world, right? It is the idea of when it talks about the cross being folly. Yeah, if we really follow Jesus, we're going to look foolish and weak and stupid at times. But we trust that God is the God that works through the things that the world calls those things and brings strength and multiplication and beauty out of those things. So,
but you're back to claiming it ourselves. It's not foolish if we're giving away somebody else's stuff, which we are when we're generous. We're back to it's ours. So I give the gas to the guy and somebody who maybe got ripped off the last week and they're like, you were an idiot. He did that to me. And, you know, that was so foolish. Or you've been warned. Why would that make me a fool? Except as Pastor Mark pointed out, we're thinking in terms of earthly and not, you know, it all came from God. It's all God's. We're all just swapping stuff, giving stuff, getting stuff that's God's. But it's hard to let that go and not feel foolish, not feel like you got ripped off when they just took some of God's stuff from you, but you're lost.
Is there a perfect balance?
Sure.
Yeah. You can laugh, Mark. That's fine.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And Jesus attained it.
Okay.
But I don't know that we can.
Sure. I'm just talking even generosity side. I know just thinking through it, and I've even said it in this podcast, but of just giving everything away. But in reality, I couldn't give everything away because I have a family to provide for. I have things of that nature, and it's what is the balance?
I don't know what Rob's sermon on vocation and generosity sounds like. or is going to be about. But as I think about what vocation is, that's still in your generosity, right? So you have a vocation. You've got a job as father, as husband, right? And as a citizen of this world and a citizen of the church, a member of this church. And so all of those roles, you're called to be generous in your vocation. However, there are certain vocations of yours that God has given you and said, this takes priority, right? So your vocation as Jesus follower, that's ultimate priority, right? Your vocation as husband, that's a big priority, right? And that may take priority over your vocation as citizen for right now, right? If you feel like God is calling you to give everything, he is, right? But he's also given you that wisdom and that ability to say, okay, as I give everything, here's my priorities and how I give. I give this to my family, right? I give this to my church. I give this to the community around me. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, Rob, but...
It is. I think for the most part, I mean, it is that we play out all these different vocations and be generous in those. And I think where the balance comes out, as you were asking, what is the balance? And I think it's also where wisdom comes in, is so then how do we actually best live out that vocation generously? You know, does that mean that as a parent wanting to provide for my kids, that I make the priority that every 6 months we're going to take a Disney World vacation, right? Because we think that's how we're going to provide for them. That's probably not wisdom. That's probably not what we're called to do. But as long as they're getting the education that we want to give them, as long as they're getting the food we need and they're being healthy and have a roof over their head, maybe that's the balance that we need, that it's not what the world would tell us that we need to provide for our family, but it's what God says we need to provide, which are the basics. But yet we get caught up in the whole idea of keeping up with the Joneses and everything else. And so therefore we start losing track of what really that vocation is calling us to, and what is the generosity there, and what is the balance there. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part, because I think trying to discern that and fight with what's going on in the world and understand the now not yet nature of the kingdom, and also just the tension that it is to live as a Christian in this world, but yet wanting to provide for our kids and provide for our families and do the good job at work, but yet be a good member of the church and provide for the church. It's not an easy thing. This is a difficult thing to navigate through. But that's why we need to be connected to God more and more, so that we stay true to what his word says and true to what he says, and allow the Spirit to continue to lead us and guide us. And it's not to say that the way Scott's going to do it is the right way for me, or the way that I do it is the right way for Scott. Each of us have to find out what that path is and what is the right way we can be generous within all that God has given us.
And I think there is that wisdom piece, but there is also the fact that God asks us to do something that is beyond our wisdom and our understanding.
That's what I mean by wisdom, though, is that it's God's wisdom. It's not necessarily relying on my wisdom, right? So that's why I say you got to be in God's word. You've got to do that, because that's the true wisdom, right? It's not just on what my rationale and understanding may be.
Yeah. And I think about like Malachi 3, right? Where yes. God says, test me in this. I'm going to provide for
yes.
you. And he invites us into being generous and providing for the family of faith. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you what you need. It may not be the Disney vacation, right? It may not be a new car. You may be just getting by just barely, right? But I'm going to provide for you what you need. And so when we talk about generosity, I do think that it is fair to say that God doesn't just invite us to be a part of generosity, but he tells us that we are expected to live generously. And yeah, we're going to fail at times, and we're going to struggle at times, but it is something that God is inviting us into, and not just like a, hey, if you want to do this, you could do this. It is a, no, we're going to do this together because I need you to trust me. And those things that you hold on to, that you're afraid of letting go, those are the things that you're holding on to. And I need you to hold on to me instead.
Yeah. I always sometimes think that, okay, so we just had our furnace go out and now we've just found out we have to replace our furnace and air conditioner. And it's times like these and others that I sit there and think, it would be great just to have a tiny home out in the middle of nowhere, you know, with no worries about what to do with taking care of something and not having many possessions and just simplifying life and living life simply, you know, in the kingdom of God. I think, boy, that would be just an awesome experience, right? Instead of having all the pressures and all the struggles and everything else that we tend to put in into our lives, what would that be like? I think sometimes it could be sort of cool, but then reality hits and says, well, I don't know that you really could do that. Or my wife says I'd never live in a tiny home, so there we'd be in trouble. So, you know, but there are times when I think we complicate life by a lot of the things we do and live in and how we live, that it would be a lot simpler sometimes if we just said, sometimes living like the Amish might not be so bad. It sounds weird to say, but there's something about that lifestyle that looks good.
Yeah, the simple kind of lifestyle is
exactly
something that God can be inviting us into as well. Yeah.
Well, and I think there's also generosity in their life, you know?
Absolutely.
And the way they do that. I think it's what's modeled for us in Bible times too. I think generosity, in a sense, again, we always tend to look to our treasures, look to our time and everything. I guess it still is kind of time, but it was helping out, you know? And it was that. Because I'm 100% with you. Like, I would love to just go live out in the woods, never speak to anybody else again, ever, and just me and God. Sounds great.
Well, awesome. I was saying I'd go to
that kind of stuff too.
But yes, you know.
But that was something I was also this past week and studying on some stuff myself. Like, just getting that realization that is something that has been fed to us over the years that we should isolate. And that's no, like there isn't that, like, even though that's ingrained in my brain, like that's what I want to do. We shouldn't, like, it is about community. Like Jesus, if we're trying to live a life like Jesus, it is about bringing others in. And I think that is a piece of generosity too, where it's, hey, you know, your furnace broke down. Oh, I happen to know how to fix furnaces or whatever. And that is me giving up my time to come fix that. You know what I mean? Like it having that built up community around where it's like we all are living life together and giving of our talents and our times and things to help build each other up is, I think, the way that it has been laid out for us to do. And I think that we obviously have, myself 100% missed that mark several times, but I do think that is where we are called to go.
And I think, just to be clear, so I wasn't saying I would never talk to people again. But
no, I did.
Exactly. But I do think, like, when you do look at the Amish, you know, they are a generous people. So they'll get together and help each other build their barns, build their homes. They'll share the resources that they have from their farms with each other. And then they even provide their own medical insurance within their group. They pool it all together. And the community pays for their medical insurance for when they need it, and how they, that way no one else is involved. It's just them doing it. And they'll give up their time and their talents to help each other and do whatever they can. So that part of that lifestyle, I think, is so cool, because it is a breakdown of, let's keep things simple, but yet let's be generous to one another with what we have. That we are a community together, not a bunch of individuals that are together, but we are a community together. And I think that's pretty cool at times. And yes, I think being a simple lifestyle, and yet there are days when I feel like, yeah, I'd love to be in the middle of 40 acres with nobody else around. But we know isolation isn't good, and that's not what God calls us to. But I think we complicate life in America by how we live life. And I love my life, don't get me wrong. Part of the reason I left the business world and the life I had in New York City was because that was complex. It was leading me down the wrong path. And was not creating a life of generosity for others. It tended to be focused on only me and what I was gaining, and I didn't like who I was becoming.
I think about the lady who anointed Jesus's feet with the expensive perfume, right? And the disciples are like, hey.
Yeah, what a waste.
What a waste, right? Even Judas is, we could sell this and give stuff to the poor, you know? I mean, he got a lot of things wrong. But in his mindset, this was like, this was a good thing. Let's just sell it. And in generosity, I don't know that it always makes sense. It's that foolishness piece again. But the results in and of themselves, it's not about the results of the generosity. It's about the act of it and the process of it.
It's not about the amount of generosity, just like I think of the widow's mite, giving just a little bit of, but that was her giving everything, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, because it's showing her dependence.
Exactly right. As Jesus said, she gave everything out of nothing that she had. It was amazing what she gave compared to everybody else who was giving out of their abundance, which really didn't make a difference for them.
Yeah. And her selflessness, just to pour that out.
Yeah.
There's a cost socially then between, you wasted that gift, like you said, the perfuming Jesus' feet. Yet what is it in us that, who asked you? I mean, why is my opinion relevant for what you did for somebody else? And yet we do that. We grab that. I'm passing judgment on what you decided to do with your thing. It's not even my thing. I didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
And yet I still, it's about me. We keep coming back to that. It's about me. And what I would have done was, I wasn't asked.
Yeah. There's a piece that's like relational generosity, where it's like a reputational generosity where you're giving of your reputation, for the sake of someone else. That there's I think about kids sitting at the lunch table, right? And there's a kid sitting over at another table all by himself. And it takes generosity to go and sit next to or to invite that kid over to the table, right? And maybe that's a silly example of a high school lunchroom, but it happens more often in the real world too, that it is, maybe it's a guy that's, standing outside at a stoplight holding a piece of cardboard saying, "Help, please." And you just sit and you invite him over and you go and have a cup of coffee at McDonald's or something. Like, that takes relational credit and relational generosity. And I think that's something that God is inviting us into as well. If that is something that we're holding on to, that we're dependent on, that we're like, "Oh man, I'm worried about what other people are going to think." Maybe God's inviting us into that kind of generosity to break that.
And one thing I think I mentioned in my sermon last week, but it's one I want to continue to mention, is this idea of, are we generous with the gospel?
Yeah.
Okay. We talk about generosity, but are we, as God's people, as Christians, because we know what God has done for us, generous in sharing the gospel with everyone we meet? That's what God calls us to as well, is to be generous with this message of salvation. And we, I think, as a Christian church in America, sometimes don't take that so seriously. That's what we need to be generous with. Yes, we need to be generous with our time, talents, and treasures, but we also need to be generous with the gospel. Because as I've said many times before, that's what's going to change Decatur, and that's what's going to change the world.
Yeah, that's one that we're willing to not own. That's one where, like, all the other stuff, we're like, yeah, my money, yeah, my time, yeah, this stuff, gospel message. Oh, no, that's the church's thing. Like,
that's the pastor's thing.
That's the pastor's thing. That's the church workers. That's those evangelists. But that hasn't been entrusted to me. I'm not that servant. That's not part of what's been entrusted to me. And actually, I don't see the other stuff as entrusted to me because it's mine, actually. There's mine and there's God's and what he's entrusted, but I don't know what my part is in that. And I think that's a convicting thing when you think about that, of we have to own that we've been entrusted with this gift, which is funny though, right? We want to claim the benefits of it, but you can't get the gospel in part. If I'm going to claim the gospel and its benefits, it comes also with the responsibility of being generous with sharing with others then. I can't pick and choose what part of the gospel I want. I can't just be like, yeah, I love the forgiveness and eternal life thing, but that's where my part ends, right? No, if you want the gospel, you got to have it all. It's entrusted to you then. You got to own that. And part of that then is being generous with that and sharing that with people.
Yeah, Jesus is Savior and Lord. You don't just get one or the other. It's both. It's not just that he's telling you what to do. He's saving you from not being able to do it.
Well, I mean, that's what gets to the Guinness Lenis Dotticum, right?
Let's go.
I just had to bring that up because you did it once, so I'm going to bring it up again.
The Guinness Lenis Dotticum.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. So we'll let people look that one up.
How do you spell that?
Oh, man. Pastor Rob's breaking out the Latin. Did you read Latin? Do you?
No.
No? Me neither.
I hear it's a dead language.
I hardly read Greek and Hebrew.
Oh, man.
Had to read some Greek, though. I just didn't want to.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
With us, it sounds like coming to an end here. So what would be our last thoughts on generosity as we are in the middle of the series, but we're headed to the conclusion of it? What would you guys say would be the, if you had one last thing to say that you wanted to encourage somebody, maybe a new Christian, what would it be?
Your life is not yours. Your wallet is not yours. Your time is not yours. It's not mine either. It belongs to Jesus, and he calls us to give of them freely.
Okay, good. What else?
I'd say if you will have incidents, you will have times where it doesn't seem to go well for you, but overall, if you are a generous person, time, money, everything, it will pay off in this life. You will find that you then are treasured by people because they know they can count on you for that. And you're not looking to take from them. So then overall, they're not looking to take from you. It's a nice design that God has made.
That's good.
Yeah. I think I would say definitely the selfless side of it to be aware that I need to be more selfless. I think big aspect of that again is what you just talked about with being generous with the gospel. And that's a massively selfish thing that we do, that we hold that in.
Very much.
And we don't give that to people. And so I think for me, my biggest takeaway, my thing is learning how to dive deeper into letting myself be selfless and not selfish.
Okay, good. You got anything, Mark?
Yeah, I think a lot of what I was thinking is kind of said, but just that idea once again that like I have this role of being entrusted with the, and while that is a challenging thing and a daunting thing and a hard thing at times, it is also a beautiful thing and a privilege to be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah, and what I would say just from my standpoint is just take a step towards generosity. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be, for instance, tithing to 10%. Give 1%, 2% to begin with if you're not doing it now. If you're not sharing the gospel, go out and start taking steps to share it where you can. Take small steps towards that direction and let God continue to lead you.
That's good.
And the first three people that comment on this, Pastor Rob is taken to Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Annually.
Annually.
I don't like Disney World that much. Sorry.
That's fair. Universal is better anyway. So I think something that we started last week, me and Pastor Bill and our guest, but you guys weren't there. So this is a new thing that we're going to try to do at the end of every podcast is just pray it out. Pray over whatever the topic was, whatever we feel like God is telling us to pray over the people, hopefully listening, and over each other. So I just sprung that on you. Anybody would like to pray?
I'll pray. That's all right. Okay. So let's pray. So gracious Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for this topic of generosity as we know, Lord, it's a challenge for us as human beings to live with generous hearts all the time. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to work on our hearts and minds, Lord, letting us recognize truly what you have done for us. That, Lord, we see the act of generosity that you have provided through Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, that would sink into our hearts and minds and would allow us to respond with generosity in all areas of our lives and each of the vocations we play as well. And that, Lord, through that generosity, lives would be changed. So, Lord, we just say thank you for that. And, Lord, we pray that for all of us here, for all who are listening, Lord, that you would just do an amazing work, because, Lord, we know you can do far more than we could ever imagine or hope for. We look at the story of feeding of 5,000, Lord, where people felt this idea of not having enough, that there wasn't enough around to feed the individuals, but yet, Lord, you multiplied it, and there was plenty right there among them to feed everyone who needed to be fed. And Lord, we know that you can take whatever it is that is in this community, you can multiply it and provide everything that is needed to provide ministry and also to just bless this community. So, Lord, we ask that you would do that. And we pray all this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch up with you next week.
We're going to talk about aliens.
Aliens, again? Is that where we're going to...
Or Bigfoot.
Yeah, I like Bigfoot. Let's do Bigfoot.